Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, are you part of the conscious whole? Maybe that's good. Maybe not. We're going to learn about what this means so that you can perhaps differentiate yourself a bit in this world and see what you're working with in life. So to help us do this is the author of a book called The Conscious Whole. And we're talking with the author, William T. Kenny. William, welcome to Energy Stew.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
And are you a member of the Conscious Whole?
Well, we all are a member of the Conscious Whole. We all contribute to the Conscious Whole, and we all create the Conscious Whole through our thoughts and our actions and our behavior.
Do you ever separate yourself from the Conscious Whole?
Well, I suppose you can try to, but what I describe in the book is this force that's kind of created by us, but hard for us to perceive, and that force that appears to act outside of our influence, but we are really the creators of that force.
Right.
And that force shapes reality.
So we might think of that force as groupthink, that we have agreed coming into this world that this will be a third dimensional reality based on certain principles that we have to live by, for instance, gravity, et cetera, density. And perhaps that's all an illusion, but we've agreed to make it real. Is that true?
Exactly right, yeah. And there's, you know, a part of this that's required to live in the life that we're living in. Just as you said, we all have to agree on certain principles. You know, we have to agree what a red traffic light means and what a green traffic light means. Otherwise, we can't drive around on the streets. And the same thing, I believe, applies to the more tangible parts of reality, the physical world of biology and physics and nature. We all have to have some sort of agreement of how it's going to behave. And the conscious whole is the manifestation of that. And the force that controls that reality that's created by all humans on Earth. And because we create this reality, the physical manifestation of the world follows that reality. And we often are not conscious of the conscious whole. We think that nature is outside of us and that it's just going forward without us being present. And the idea is that we are actually the ones controlling reality and creating this larger force, creating the world and creating the particles in the world.
So what it is that reality is really subjective, but we assume that it's subjective because we're in the agreement that our bodies have density to them, etc. Now, your book is a novel, and it's a wonderful novel. I mean, I really enjoyed reading it because
Thank
it
you.
Spells out these great truths through a wonderful adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly right. And it's a story about a man named Andy who has a terminal illness. And it's about the, you know, identification of that illness and what it means in his world, in the world of the conscious whole where he lives. And it decides that he doesn't like that. And he wants to try to, you know, find a way out, even though biology says and all the doctors say that he's going to die. And so he ventures out to a different land and finds a place where people don't think like he thinks in the conscious whole, and discovers there's a lot more to reality than the conscious whole had shown him. And what I try to do is tie that into the biology of this disease process and show you that what we currently think of disease and what we currently think of biology, and particularly of DNA, may not necessarily be true. And that we have to look to other theories, particularly theories of physics, that show where small particles behave differently than large particles and larger pieces of the world, the macroscopic world. And when you're dealing with DNA in the body, DNA is so small, and we study it and we treat it as if it's permanent. But not only does it move around and not only does it change configuration on a chemical level, but when you look even deeper on the physical level of the molecules, if they behave as quantum physics says, where it's determined by essentially by the environment, but not the physical environment, also the environment of the observer in that situation and the person doing the experiments, that those molecules can change and they don't have to be as we see them.
Right, and this is the biology of belief that Bruce Lipton is famous
for. Exactly. Yeah, that was a great book, and it's very similar. It's along that vein as well.
Right. And so what's wonderful about this book is that it really shows that we're only victimized by our thought processes, which are groupthink processes, which are the conscious whole that we're programmed for. So we're programmed to believe in our limitations. And that's supposedly objective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's the limitations. And that's another central theme of the book is, you know, what are limitations? And what, you know, not only are what are our physical limitations, but what are the limitations of biology? And what the conscious whole, what that book comes down to, the limitations of biology are determined by this larger force, the conscious whole. And we're living within this limitation, and all the scientists observe the limitations, and we say that's just the way the world is. But if you change those limitations by changing the conscious whole, we would observe a different world. And so just like you say, we're kind of part of this created reality. And we're inside the bubble, we're looking around the bubble, we're saying, well, things are inside the bubble are the way they are because that's the way they are. But really outside of that bubble, you have a force acting on the world, creating it as such.
Right, and yet in your book, the conscious whole becomes nefarious. It really
exactly.
is out to protect itself against the people who believe in opportunity.
Yeah, and that's another theme of it. So it's I try to describe it as a natural force and not something that's necessarily good or bad from the beginning. But as you say, it changes over time. It gains its own power. It becomes autonomous on its own. And as such, it wants to protect itself as any living creature would. It wants to survive. And in order to survive, it needs to maintain the current ideas. And those current ideas, they're fed by the people.
Right, but this is also what people are afraid of about artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that's true. Creating a different set of values, essentially.
Well, we aren't in control of.
Yeah. Exactly right. And, you know, the book is, you know, the conscious whole, you have this creation of this force that's outside of our control, essentially. Although it's slightly ironic because we are the ones controlling the conscious whole.
Well, we can. The thing in the book is that you have to get to a place of realizing that you have that power. Mm-hmm. Until then, everybody is the victim of the conscious whole in the limited belief system of it. Mm-hmm. And it wants to maintain that at all costs.
Exactly. Exactly right. It's similar to suppressing votes because you don't want the people to rise up against the government, the status quo. You know, The people are voting in the conscious whole and they feel like their votes don't count. How could one vote count in the conscious whole? And the book about... they give up. And I think, you know, there's a parallel in real life too. We say, well, what does our one vote count? We think differently. Why only have two presidential parties when, you know, the third vote won't count? And the whole idea of the book is that it all counts. Every single one of them counts. And it counts for creating reality, but also for even more on a more pragmatic level, you know, helping people around you and creating a nice environment for your surroundings and for other people around you and you know, acting in goodwill around the world.
Right. So in the book, I was really rooting for Andy.
Yeah.
He's the hero. And yet he has a lot of helpers too. He went because he had to travel beyond the known world in his illness and being disabled and close to dying. And yet he was able to forge his way to a distant community that no one ever heard of, called Meat Cove.
Yeah, and Meat Cove is actually, on a side note, it's actually a real place that I've been to. It's on the tip of Cape Breton in Nova Scotia. It's this little tiny town. It's literally you drive out to the end of the road, and that's Meat Cove, and then there's no other way. You can only go in or out on one road, and you get there, and there are several houses, and it's a little-known place, but it was kind of a cool name.
But in the book, Meat Cove is where people actually think outside of the conscious whole. It's beyond the limits, the boundaries of the conscious whole, because it's so far out away territorially of the conscious whole.
Yeah, yes.
And that's the only way he could have the opportunity to break the mold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can, and they, and interestingly too, the, you know, these conscious holes are essentially kind of created wherever they are, and so you have this other kind of belief structure in Mikope that's different than the conscious hole. And Andy, when he's there, he's able to see his disease in a different way. And the parallel is, and I go into some of the biology of it as well, the conscious hole is essentially parallel, you know, equates to our current paradigm of medicine. And then he goes to Meat Cove, where I introduce a new kind of paradigm of thinking about biology and DNA, but in the context of physics. And so what I try to do in the book is to bridge the metaphysical world with what our current understanding is in empiric science. And it's my personal belief that as we gain more information and knowledge, we'll find that bridge, and the metaphysics won't be metaphysics anymore, it'll be physics. Because we will find that these phenomena are actually real. What we consider metaphysical now is real. And I think I quote in the book at some point about miracles and how miracles are really only miracles because we don't understand how they work. But once you understand how a miracle works, it's no longer a miracle, it's just the empirics of it.
So what it is that we're caught in our stories of limitation from our ancestors and also the conditioning of our current lives, that we have opinions about ourselves. You know, it could be opinions that we've gained through just the genes that we were born with from our ancestors who had their own struggles, and they became embedded, their stories became embedded in our own story. Mm-hmm. And then we're reflecting that. And then, so we have these limitations of our ancestral stories. And then using quantum physics, the observer is an observer with a lot of limited opinions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. And I use a lot of different characters in the book who have different illnesses. So when Andy eventually leaves Mi Cove, he goes back to where he's from, a town called Brave, back into the conscious hole, and he encounters people there who have various illnesses. And, you know, I draw parallels, just like you said, between the, you know, these kind of ancestral stories or these previous stories and how that influences our current life and how the influences our current disease states as well. And, you know, it's a lot of those characters that are in the book are actually based on real people. From my medical training and medical experience and interacting with patients. And wow. So it's, you know, all the names have been changed, of course, and there's nothing identifying, but it's, you know, a lot of those experiences are based on real characters. Andy's actually based on a real person, but it's a different name and of course, but he's someone who I had met in the past.
Right, and there are many, many examples of what medical world calls spontaneous remission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand how you can get better, and a lot of it is just because we're changing our stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the biggest theme from the book, I think, as well, is, you know, just like you said, the spontaneous remissions. The word we use in medicine often too is idiopathic, meaning we don't know why, and there's so much of that in medicine because we really only understand a very small amount of biology and physics and our natural world. And I think we have to be open-minded and say, well, if something's idiopathic or if it's a spontaneous remission or if it's something we don't understand, there is a reason behind it. And there is truth behind that. And I think we will find that truth at some point, but it's about being open to the idea that, well, maybe the way we understand medicine is not how we you know, used to be or how we think it is. And I use some examples in the book too, one of which is an example of tuberculosis, how we used to understand tuberculosis. And they used to think tuberculosis was inherited because, you know, the mom would have it and then the kids would have it and then, you know, the grandparents had it. And it was really because they all lived together and they
were behaving the same ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the behavior. It's the mindset of reality that they live within that causes the body then to respond in the same ways.
Exactly. Yeah. And I quote a lot of literature too regarding to ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I did some research at that when I was at Penn State and looking at the mental process of that. And what I had studied was cortisol activity in the blood. But, you know, when you think about how you can raise a child and how you teach them to interact with the world, and how we teach them to use their behavior, or how they're maybe stuffed into, you know, a certain box by having to sit in the school and sit in a desk all day, and how that's not natural. There are a lot of behavioral aspects that cause these disease states to kind of come out, and then we classify them as a disease.
Right, because they're not behaving according to the conscious whole. They don't, their minds need more than the conscious whole, and we don't know how to educate them accordingly.
Exactly. It's, you know, you have to sit in a row at school, and you can't, you know, run around, and that's not natural for some people. And that's right. Okay. You know, those people can find their energy and use it in ways that are productive.
Yeah, it's right for them, and they bring their gifts because
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. But, and it's about being open-minded to that, and open-minded to, you know, seeing how people can view the world differently and live in the world differently.
But schools don't like that.
No, they don't like that. And, you know, and we have a medicine to fix it. And, you know, that's a whole different discussion as well.
Yeah, that, I mean, right. The way it gets fixed is to change their behavior to fit more into the conscious whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. You know, so there's so many lessons in this book, in large part because of your own experience in the medical world. You get to see how people have created their limitations. And that, and, you know, that keeps...
Yeah, correct. And, you
know, and it keeps repeating itself.
Yeah.
And it will, until there's...
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, trying to, I think, bring to light that the world is not just biology and DNA. We live in a paradigm currently where, you know, DNA is king, and first it was the sequence of DNA. Now we're in the epigenetic series, you know, part of DNA, where it's, you know, the influences on DNA or the parts on top of DNA that control it. And there's a lot of very interesting science and very important science related to that. And what I go into the book is maybe a different layer of that. And it's not that the DNA, our understanding of DNA is incorrect, it's just incomplete. And it's bringing more, you know, a different layer to it of, we have other forces acting on our DNA. We have forces in the particle world, in the subatomic world, in the quantum world that are acting on that DNA. And that DNA is so vital to our health and how we live and to disease states. But we have to kind of, you know, look on this other level and what is influencing our DNA. And that is another big central theme in the book.
And so what I'm thinking about is information that the DNA needs. And that information can come from many places, including wholesome foods. Foods are information,
mm-hmm.
and everything is information. Light is information. And so when we can saturate our body with healthy information, mm-hmm. and including herbs, elemental particles, all kinds of things that we might be lacking and have a disease state because that information isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
yeah, no, that's a very good point.
Thank you. No, it's why we have to think for ourselves outside of the conscious whole, in ways of the limiting conscious whole, in ways that are responsible, because most people can't address these at all. They mm-hmm. nothing to that.
Yeah, and the one thing I kind of talk about too, and as part of the conscious whole, is, you know, we kind of touched it on earlier, this, you know, willingness to kind of succumb to it and to say, well, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to fight it. And there's, you know, you can go through life in an unconscious way. And Andy chooses differently. He decides to, you know, think about the world consciously. And he comes back into the conscious whole to make the conscious whole conscious. Because ironically, the conscious whole is really an unconscious state.
Well, it's the maintenance of bad habits. Mm-hmm. You know, people... You know, they give up, but also the conscious whole creates addictions. Mm-hmm. You know, the sugar and all the different, you know, even wheat are foods that you can be addicted to,
mm-hmm.
and in the end aren't as healthy as other foods might be. And so you're plying yourself with all kinds of forces that keep you ignorant.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, the information that's available to us from nature, from the universe,
mm-hmm.
is not hitting these people, and so their bodies become more ignorant and self-destruct.
Yeah, and that's another thing I kind of bring up too in the book is the how you know the encoding of information in nature and the encoding of information in our world and how that information is passed along. And so, you know, there's also a lot of spirituality in the book as well, talking about previous lives and previous existences and how those might affect us.
Right. And not everybody can relate to that. We can relate to our ancestors, but not even to think that our ancestors play a role in this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it gives purpose too in many ways. So, you know, there's this one character in the book I talk about. It's a newborn who is born premature, and that's also based on a real person that I had seen, a little premature baby. And in that part, I talk about previous existences, previous lives, and how those manifested into the current state. Because a lot of the big question people ask is why? Why does a child deserve to get cancer? You know, the child does not deserve to get cancer in any way, right? So why does a child get cancer? And we don't have a reason for that. We have, the biology reason, there's an aberrant mutation in the gene and it creates bad cells. Those bad cells cause cancer. But is there something deeper to that? And, right. and that's kind of, I think, one thing that I try to do is there a deeper understanding, a deeper meaning or something behind that?
Well, this applying the soul theory that we're born as souls who are choosing these limitations for some past reasons.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I mean, one thing we can kind of talk about is, so in the book, I have these introductory phrases for each chapter. And I'm very curious to hear what you think of them. They're kind of cryptic and they're their own story. And I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are.
Well, I felt it was more helpful to go back to them than to start the chapter with that. So it's like, wait a minute, I don't understand this yet. And then you can go back and say, oh yeah, no wonder you wrote that.
And so basically for the listeners out there, it's, every chapter has an introductory little blurb, a little paragraph that's written. And that blurb is mostly related to that chapter. But if you can actually read the book and just read those introductory paragraphs, and they're actually their own story. And that story at the end of the book melds into the current, to the main body of the story. And like you're talking about with, the kind of theory of souls, those introductory paragraphs are essentially, they're a level above a conscious whole. So if you think of the conscious whole, you think of the people on earth, and then the conscious whole, you can think of like the clouds above their heads, the atmosphere. There's a level above that. And those introductory paragraphs are that level above it, what you might call, the soul world, or, a world above the conscious whole. And so it's kind of it's a layered message.
Right. And well, the whole book is layered, because it's so many deep truths. And you have a lot of footnotes at the bottom of many pages that talk about the science that you're relating to.
Yeah. And so that was a big goal for the book, is because there's a lot of science out there that supports what we currently call metaphysics. And so what I wanted to do was, as being trained in medicine and having done research and published in traditional research avenues, I wanted to take the information we have, the empiric information we have, and relate it to some theories in the book to give them substance and to say that, this is not just me talking, I'm just not making stuff up, even though I do make a lot of stuff in the book. It's, there's some of the stuff has backing to it.
A lot of it. No, it's all, it works on every level, it brings everything around to great understanding. So I think the audience should pick up the book, The Conscious Whole. Your name is William Kenny. Is there a website or?
Yeah, well, the book's for sale on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. You can go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it. We also have a website, theconsciouswhole.com, and you can go there and there's links to buy the book from there and a little bit about the book. You can find it on Amazon Prime.
That's great.
Ship it right to your house in a couple days.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Because it's really important. Not only, it helps to understand the language of what you're talking about in a way that's communicable to a large part of the conscious whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was another purpose of the book is, you know, I wanted to write it so that anybody could pick it up. And like you said, there are many layers to it. And so there's the story layer, the novel layer, and you can read it just for the novel. And I, you know, I hope that it's enjoyable on that level. And then there's the, you know, the maybe the messages within, and you can pick up some messages, maybe not all, but some, and maybe you can pick up, you know, then the science, and there's the footnotes, and, you know, there's kind of a lot to it. And, you know, I hope that it's accessible to, you know, as many people as possible.
Sure. I had such happiness reading the book because it just read to me the whole way about what I was excited to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I hope it reaches too to the, you know, the people that maybe haven't thought about this kind of stuff. And that's the big thing about bringing the science, because it's my belief that, you know, that we're going to discover a lot of new things in the future, and they're going to bring us closer and closer to what we currently call the spiritual world, the metaphysical world. And we're going to find that, I think, that those worlds are real in the scientific sense that they're real, because if they are real, if, you know, if you do believe in them, then they must be real in some form.
Right.
Therefore, it must be discoverable.
And the book really identifies what true healing is.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, basically it's a change of information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's just, you know, kind of some airy fairy thing. It's really the way that the body then can use this new information to heal itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's about. You know, pushing through difficulties as well, and looking at disability in a different way too. Because, you know, Andy is you know, essentially disabled when he leaves the conscious whole. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there doing amazing things who are, you know, we call disabled, but, you know, everybody's able, you know, really to do many things.
And there's a lot of action in this book too. There are a whole bunch of bad guys who represent the conscious whole. And
yeah, it was fun to write.
Yeah, I'm sure. So we're really at the end of our time. I'm so glad that you wrote the book and I can talk with you about it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.